Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, we've been watching a lot of things take place on college campuses. We've talked a lot about what's going on in classrooms across the country. And now we're going to get to the stuff that I really love, the radical creativity that seems like common sense, that makes a real difference and can actually transform not only classrooms, but individual lives more importantly. Really thrilled to have joining us on the program today, Joanna Slater, a national correspondent for The Washington Post. She focuses on the Northeast. She's also an award-winning foreign correspondent. Her career includes assignments in the United States, Europe, and Asia, and has just a fantastic piece in The Post. You need to check it out. It's about a Connecticut middle school that is hitting some of the battles our young people are facing in a way that is making a real difference. And Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And let's start with where you began your piece, with some of that, we call it within the parentheses of a crazy idea, Raymond Dolphin, assistant principal at a middle school in Connecticut. Tell us the story.
Sure. So Ray Dolphin has been assistant principal of this middle school near Hartford for 2 years. It's got more than 800 students. It's a big school. And one of the main challenges he saw students facing was their inability to get away from their cell phones, despite the fact that there was a school rule against it. Most schools in the U.S., 3/4 of schools in the U.S. have rules preventing cell phone use in class. But in practice, that's not how it usually works out, and that's not how it was working out at this school in Connecticut. It meant that individual teachers really had to enforce this rule, which meant a kind of daily power struggle between students and teachers, teachers telling students to put the phones away. Sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't. So Ray Dolphin, this assistant principal, as you said, decided to look for a more creative and dramatic way to change things.
Yeah. So as of course you go down that path, there's always, you always hit resistance within the parentheses of a crazy idea. And I'm guessing that as he went down this path, there were probably a few moans and groans from the students and maybe even louder ones from the parents.
100%. The students definitely did not want it to happen. Now, one of the eighth graders I talked to told me that he cried when he heard it was going to happen. And there were petitions urging the school administration to reconsider, petitions by the students. The school did not reconsider. But there was, as you point out, there was significant opposition from parents, not all parents, not most parents, but certainly there were parents who did not want this to happen. They had their objections fell into a couple of categories. And those categories, Ray Dolphin told me, he felt that three of them were legitimate, but they were things that they were going to deal with. So one of them, of course, parents are worried about reaching their kids in an emergency, in the worst case scenario, yeah, which unfortunately we have to acknowledge, right?
Yeah.
But he says that in a daily reality, there are ways that there's a landline in every classroom, sometimes more than one, and the teachers will still have their cell phones. So you'll always be able to call 911. And in a real emergency, having kids take out their cell phones and call folks is actually not what you want them doing. So they dealt with that objection. There were some parents who really felt like their kids needed their cell phones to manage their anxiety. They relied on meditation apps and music, but they created special accommodations for those kids for the first couple weeks, and all of those kids are fine now, he said. And then you had parents who just love the convenience of being able to be in touch with their kids throughout the school day. Right? For those parents and those kids, they had to go back to a little bit more old-fashioned way of contacting kids, which was leaving messages with the school office. One of my favorite parts of this story was when one of the administrators told me that because if kids need to call their parents, they also can go to the school office. And for some of these kids, it was the first time they'd ever used a landline. They literally didn't know how to use it.
Education at its best there.
Exactly.
So let's get into some of the results. Obviously, the hand-wringing on the front end from everybody, we get that. And as you pointed out, some of those are really legitimate things, and it sounds like they navigated those really well. But let's get to the results, because everybody's so panicked of what will or won't happen. Here's someone who actually just put it to the test. What were the results?
So the results, if you ask the teachers are just, they're just thrilled. They're the ones who really were on the front lines of dealing with this day in and day out. And some of them expressed some skepticism that this would work. If you talk to the administrators at the school, they said the key is not just the device, the pouch. The students put their phones into a synthetic rubber pouch that's magnetically locked, and then they unlock it at the end of the day. But it's not just the pouch, because sometimes students can get around the pouch. It's that there's a uniform school rule that if a cell phone does come out, in whatever way, the student gets sent to the office and they get a detention. Mm. So it's out of teachers' hands now. So the teachers say that they see students that are, they say the students are more focused. I was really struck by what one teacher said to me. He said, now the first thing I can say to students is good morning, not take your AirPods out. Just what he used to have to do every single period throughout the day. If you talk to the students in groups, there is still a lot of peer pressure to say that they don't like it. But when you talk to them one-on-one, it's quite different. They acknowledge that they're less distracted, that there's also less drama. One of the math teachers told me that especially right after lunch, when the students would come back into class, they would be really keyed up on social media related gossip, you know, who was in a fight with whom and who is, et cetera. He said, now that's all gone. And then I think what was most touching to me was students talking about actually speaking with each other more.
The really radical stuff, having a conversation with one of your peers. And you also mentioned there was a quote from one of the students who kind of had that whole fear of missing out. If I don't have my phone, I'm missing out on the rest of the world's going by. And that most of them realized that they really don't miss that much, if anything at all. And the connections they make with each other and with their teachers, their ability to actually get the work done, definitely seems to be going up.
Right. I think that is one of the most interesting aspects of this, which is that their social world is actually their world at school.
Yeah.
It's not what's on the phones. It's when their classrooms and in with those 20 kids or however many kids there are in that classroom, which, of course, is quite different than what it was before.
Wow. That's so powerful. And I think when we can get classrooms and schools to no longer just be another place of virtual reality, but it becomes reality, all those conversations change. This is a crucial conversation I think we need to have across the country and in our own communities. Joanna Slater from the Washington Post, brilliant piece, really, really great storytelling and a great focus on results and impact. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Joanna Slater from the Washington Post. And someone in Connecticut just said, you know what, we're just going to do it. And so they did. And the benefits are becoming very clear in terms of what students are learning, how they're feeling, that anxiety is going down, that connection is going up, loneliness goes down. And I bet conversations at home are a little bit different as well. Those are all good things. We got to check it out. We got to implement that kind of creativity in all our classrooms. All right, we'll step aside for a quick break. More Inside Sources coming up next.